Hey Jesper, welcome back to this Trump Class episode 224. Today it's only a two-man booth, two-man power trip. It is just myself and Richard. How are you doing today, man?
I'm good. We're inching our way closer to the edge of glory here. We're on our way. Big dub against Guimarães, and who knows, a Benfica slip up on whenever they play. They play before us. Benfica slip up on Friday or Saturday, whichever day it is. Could make some things very interesting heading into the Dragão a day after Porto elections.
Yeah, most definitely. Before we get into that, make sure you follow Chris, who couldn't be here tonight, and Danny as well. Also, follow myself. But most importantly, make sure you follow all things Avalon on all social media platforms and podcast platforms. I guess we'll just get straight into the reason we're here, and that is the game versus Vitória Guimarães, which was a 3-0 smacking, I would say, of Vitória. But let's read lineups first. We've got Franco Israel in goal, St. Just, Coates, Inacio, Nuno Santos, Jenny, Hulman, Braganza, Pedro Gonzalez, Jocores, and Trincao. Off the bench came Marcus Edwards, Morita, Paulinho, Eduardo Quaresma, and Fresneda. Richard, what were your overall thoughts this game?
This was pretty much, as our podcast title suggests, it was cruise control. Like, Guimarães really did not look any sorts dangerous at any given point. I thought everybody looked good. Like, Jenny continues to prove why he should be starting over Gayo week in, week out. It was nice to see Fresneda get minutes finally, which was great. The front three firing on all cylinders at the pretty much about the most ideal time. Trincao, Jokeres, and Pott all having terrific games. Jokeres with a couple. Pott with a goal and an assist, and Count with an assist. But Braganza looked great, as he has the last month. Inacio actually had one of his better games in the last little while. He's kind of looked a little off, so nice to see him look good. Even Nuno Santos wasn't too bad, although there was one chance where he should have just shot first time. He's like, no, let me instead take another touch, and then try to put it across. Because he is the most one-footed player I might have ever seen outside of myself, who was obscenely one-footed. Both our wingbacks have one-star weak foot.
Their weak foot is my weak
foot. It's not existed. Yeah, their weak foot is the equivalent to my weak foot, which is I don't have a weak foot. It's just I am so one-footed, and so are they. But everybody looked great. Everybody looked good. Edwards came on, didn't really do a whole heck of a lot. Same with Paulinho. Morita actually came on. I thought he played quite well for his cameo. There wasn't a whole lot to be upset about. I mean, once they kind of made it 2-0, you felt the game was over. It was a nice couple of goals. Could have been more, if we're being honest. They had a couple chances. It could have, I think a fair scoreline would have been maybe 4, possibly 5. But I think they got the win. They were the deserved winners. Guimarães did nothing really. They just kind of, especially after the first goal, they just kind of sat there and almost folded in on themselves and gave up. So I'm not going to complain. There's really not much to complain about this game. No real controversies or casus to really write home about, thankfully. It was a relatively tame weekend all around in Portuguese football outside of the incidents at the Benfica game. It wasn't, because there was the Chaves Estoril. What am I talking about? I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
No, our game was the calmest game, actually. Every other game was canned. Now I'm thinking about it, I forgot about those two. But yeah, no real complaints. A really good atmosphere at the stadium. I was watching at home, and you could really feel, I think it was what the announced attendance, 46,000 or yeah. So, I think. So, mm-hmm. pretty good out of a 50,000 capacity stadium. Pretty solid attendance. And it's nice to see like an atmosphere back in the stadium again. You can start to hear like songs and stuff, not just sporadically. Like it's nice, because there was a bit of a time period the last couple years, sort of post COVID, where the Avalon kind of felt like a library, understandably, because the team did kind of play like dog crap last season, especially. But it's good to see that we have some joy and some energy back in our lives. I have nothing really to add to this in terms of gameplay. It was a 3-0 win. No complaints. I pass it over to you, my friend.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, there wasn't much, but there was one instant that could have changed the game drastically. That is Franco Israel coming out and absolutely clattering. I think it was the striker, maybe. Could have been.
He's had like a couple of those, like near, like so-so incidents the last since he took over the starting job, basically. He's had that almost every second game where he's had injuries. Like, oh shit, is he coming off hurt? And like, we have to go to some guy we've never heard of as the goalie now? Like,
well, he's luckily that it was offside. Otherwise, it probably would have been a red card and a penalty at exactly the same time. So yeah, really lucky. But I saw a lot of criticism from him, and some of it is fair. But I also think, you know, first professional season as a goalkeeper, and like I mean, actual starting goalkeeper, you know, he's had two season, maybe one season of bench cameos, but like being a number one is its own responsibility. He's only just turned 24, I think, what, 3 or 4 days ago?
He's for a goalkeeper, 24.
That's incredibly young.
I thought he was younger.
He's been here since he was, I think, 22, maybe 20. I guess it'd be 21.
I'm going to Google this because I'm curious now.
No, but I just think, you know, give him time.
Oh, you're right. You're right. 24.
Am I right?
I thought he was like 22, or I thought he was like a couple years younger. My mistake.
At least one of us does our research here, man.
Shut your mouth. I thought he was a couple years younger. I don't know why.
No, but 24 for a goalkeeper, especially, you know, I mean, when you look at how long goalkeepers' careers are, it's not that old. More on the younger side for
most goalies, especially now, like play well into their late 30s, early 40s. So exactly, it's not, like Adan's like what, 38, 37? Like,
well, he's not been playing well for that.
But like to still be playing,
yeah,
the high level football is pretty
well. Goalkeepers retire what, maybe 35, 36, so he's got 10 years left at least. So
Very least, if as long as like he doesn't have like a crazy injury or something,
and I think give it time. But I also understand the people that don't want him as the number one next season. But if that's the case, if we do buy a goalkeeper, I would rather have Israel be loaned out to like another team in the league, maybe go abroad, because I think he just does need time to get all these sort of errors out of his system. Because you can see the defense trust him with his feet, and you know, much more than Adan, you notice he's very good. He can play a pass, he can do long balls. So I really do like his own goal. I think he's been really good. He's kept, I think, 4 clean sheets in 8 or 9 appearances. So he does have the odd mistake in him, but I prefer the odd mistake that Israel is committing. To be fair, that one was very lucky, than maybe like an Adan, who it felt like every time there's a shot on goal, it was going in. Whereas Israel,
anytime the ball comes close to the box when Adan's playing, you just get anxious. You're just clenched, like, oh god, here it comes.
Yeah, and I don't feel that way with Israel, especially against Benfica. He made some incredible saves on Di Maria. There was that sort of finesse from outside the box, got fingertip to it, and there was another few
The wide open volley one is the one I
saw
from the first half. Which is like, it's a free shot at goal, and he does well just to get in the way of it.
It'll be interesting to see how he does at the Dragão, because of the atmosphere and their strikers. I would argue maybe Evan Nilsson and Taremi are probably a bit more clinical than guys like Arta Cabral and Marcos Leonardo. Maybe not Di Maria, but definitely of them too. But it'll be interesting to see what he does, because last time we played Porto, I believe it was a Danning goal, and he managed to keep a clean sheet, to be fair to him. I think that was one of his games that we were all like, damn, like, please play more like that. But yeah, that's enough on Israel, really. But I think he just needs time. Maybe a loan spell, like I said, to, you know, loan him out to, like, I don't know, like an Estoril. If Arboina, is it Arboina, the goalkeeper from Arroca, if he goes?
I believe so.
Yeah, if he goes, maybe loan him there. I just think he needs some experience, probably in a similar system as well. So, well, that'd be interesting.
He needs consistent games. This is the first time he's had like more than one or two consecutive starts in ever, like at this type of level. So he's looked comfortable, like more slowly, a bit more comfortable for the most part each game. We'll see what they do. I'm with you. Like, I would imagine they would still possibly be in the market for a goalkeeper in the offseason. Maybe they get someone, they run a tandem. Who knows? Like, it's not out of the question. Like, teams have done that many a times where they've kind of run the tandem goalies of, like, you're going to be you might be starting, like, most of our league games, but then, like, this guy's going to start, like, all of our cup games and like, European games kind of thing. Like,
yeah, I think Bayer Leverkusen have done that. I want to say
Real Madrid did that for a while. Yeah, Mourinho did that at Madrid. Like, he ran with Casillas and Adan, I think, as a tandem at one point, if I'm not mistaken. Like,
Casillas and Diogo Lopez, one of the two of those.
It was one of the two, but he ran tandem where, like, one was essentially their goalkeeper in the league, and the other was, like, their cup/European goalkeeper, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's how Porto actually integrated Diogo Costa as well when Marchisimo was there.
Yeah. Yeah, they had Diogo Costa essentially start all the cup games.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, other than that, Jokeres, what goal drought? He, to be fair, in my book, he ended it against Gil Vicente.
That is not, I still think he ended it a couple games ago. I agree.
Yeah. That, but it must have felt good for him scoring not once, but twice. And, you know, back to form just before Porto is what you want to see. Just before that decisive game, which could be decisive for the title, depending on if other results go our way, but we'll speak a bit about that later.
Yeah,
we'll do But for beautiful me, I do want to see that
beautiful second goal, by the way. Like, just the passing between everybody, and for Jokeres to finish it, like, perfect shot, great passing. I just wanted to mention that. That was a great goal.
Yeah, the atmosphere did look electric as well when that that Mexican wave was happening, and Edwards just looks around,
just chuckling, like, I can't believe this is going on right now.
Yeah, but yeah, one player I want to single out as being like just fantastic. Someone mentioned it earlier, Pedro Gonzalez. I think we've played well all season, but when Pedro Gonzalez had that sort of 3 week month out, we did play so differently and a bit more timid. I think when he's come in, we play so much better. And he's just, he's a very streaky player. But I think over the last month or so, he has been our best offensive output. No disrespect to Jokeres or Trincao.
He's been the most consistent.
Yeah. And he's just, he's great at everything. He's great. He's a great finisher. He is, and we saw the game against Benfica as well. He can create a chance. He puts pressure on the opposition defenders. It's like Dark Angel of Doom said, the most Amorim era defining player, 100% for me.
Pedro is that his, is that his best sign? Like, is that probably the best signing under Ruben Amorim? Would we say? Me and Danny did a tier list like a month or so ago. I still think he might be the best signing we've made under this coach.
It depends, I guess, what you rank it on. Because for me, if we're talking about money, then it's Ugarte for what? 8 million for 70.
60 or
70,
yeah.
Yeah, Jokeres could be up there as well, I would say. Jokeres
right now. I think for what they paid for him, which was what, like, retroactively what we paid for him, because it was like, 8 million for half his pass or something crazy. But we got,
I think it was 7, yeah.
We have most of his pass now, and it's still, like, even if we paid 7 million and you doubled that, I would still say it's probably pound for pound among the best signings, just for the consistency. He's a streaky player, but for the consistency you've got year in, year out, there's not much better. You can bank on him for in and around 20 plus goals a season usually since he's come over.
And that time,
he's not even playing as a striker. He's played as either a winger or for the most part like a midfielder, which you don't get that type of output from a midfielder unless it's Bruno Fernandes in 2018, 2019 when he dragged this team. He scored like 30 some goals that year in all comps as a mid.
Yeah. I do think when he plays as sort of the number 8 or plays where in this system Braganza plays, that he does look a little bit, I guess it's weaker because he doesn't have like the physicality of like a Morita, or if I guess Braganza's not very physical, but it doesn't have that sort of build for a midfielder.
He's more of a finesse player, which is why I think he works so well on the wing.
I think that's why last year he sort of didn't have a great year, because when we saw Mateus Nunes, Braganza was out with an ACL. It was Morita and Ugarte. When Morita was hurt, Ugarte was hurt, it was always Pedro Gonzalez in the middle. It was never Sotiris. Mm-hmm. It was never Rochinho, it was never any of them. There was no
stability in the midfield last year, right? Like, end of the day.
No. But I saw a tweet. I think it was from...
He's got to get called up for the Euros, by the way. Like, surely. They just announced yesterday or the day before that they are doing an expanded roster again of 26. He has to make a 26-man roster now, surely.
26 for the Euros, isn't that so?
It's 26, yeah. UEFA, which I don't know why they were gonna do 23 anyways. Everybody said just do 26. Because FIFA, that's what FIFA and everybody's doing. So yeah, I imagine he has to make the roster now. Surely.
Okay. Let me give you a question.
I might have an answer. We'll see how this goes.
So you're Roberto Martinez, but you can only pick one out of Pedro Gonzalez and Trincao. Right now, who are you picking?
I can only pick one.
If the Euros were tomorrow, you can only pick one. You've got 25. And you need one more player.
Okay, so I have Totti, Gomes, and Ronaldo are already there. God, that's a tricky question, you know, because like you can make such a case for either of them.
Yeah.
Oh. See, the thing is, Trincao, I think, is a bit of a trickier player than Pot. But, like, I still think it should be Pot.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Pot, but that's like 51-49 type of vote. Like, that's so close. I imagine at least one of them makes it. It would be nice to see both of them make it. Like, we'll see, because Pedro Neto's been hurt off and on all season, as has Diogo Jota, so that might open up a spot for at least one of them.
Yeah, and if I don't think any of the Braga players should go this year, they've been having a great season, but Trincao and Pedro has always been better than Ricardo Horta and Bruma, and for some reason Bruma keeps getting called up, and so does Horta, so I would say better than them two. But the issue is, I guess when Portugal have all their wingers fit, it's a very difficult position to get into, because you've got guys like Diogo Jota, you mentioned Pedro Neto. You even got guys like Felix who could play out on the wings with a bunch of others.
Leão's guaranteed. I'm assuming one of Neto or Jota is not going at this point because they've had no semblance of health all season. They're both still hurt.
I'd assume Neto probably wouldn't go.
I'm assuming Jota might just like make it like he'll just be healthy enough, but I don't see Pedro Neto at this point because he's barely played all season anyways.
Yeah,
so I imagine that at least one of Potter Trincao makes a team. I'd really like to see both, but I'd like to see one. I think they're both playing so well, you'd be hard pressed to not at least take them to have even on the bench. We'll see. We know Inacio really is like the only lock from Sporting that will go barring an injury. I'd like to see a couple of Sporting guys go and maybe actually get to fucking play this year, you know, for then since Euro 20, whatever the hell. Let me take one of the highest scorers in Germany, Andre Silva, and the highest scorer in Portugal that year and give them 0 minutes. Give them no game time whatsoever. Just baffling.
He barely gave Polina game time as well, I think, was there.
That team should have done so much better. Those guys, like even Ronaldo that year, every player that was going into that team was so in form and had come off of such great seasons. And he decides, no, I need to put Danilo and William double pivot in the midfield. I need to put Bernardo on the wing for the 80th time, even though it doesn't work. Like, That's the more unforgivable tournament for me was that European Championship. They had everything it took to win that year.
Yeah. And for me, just looking at the team right now, I know we've got a bit of tangent, but if another position in the Portugal team that is stacked is centre midfield, because Vitinha has been fantastic this year. João Neves is fantastic. You've got other guys as well, like Bernardo and Bruno play centre mid. I would love for Braganza to get in there based off current form, but unfortunately you don't see it.
It's too stacked at the moment for him.
Yeah. And there was a point of me, a hope of me maybe like a month or two ago that could have made the case for Eduardo Quaresma being called up as well, because he was so good. And then I don't know
why. I really would have liked it, but I think unless someone gets hurt, like it's probably not going to happen.
No, I think there's too many players ahead of him. But he had a really hot start, and when he came on against Porto, I remember, and he played for like four consecutive games. Doesn't really do much anymore. But then again, I guess we've got Saints coming back, and you know he was always going to knock him down one. But I don't know. And then obviously he's got to stand for my goat Paulinho as well. Did you see that stat the other day? Who is in like he's in like top seven of like
without goals penalties. Games, yeah. Without
penalties.
His goal ratio without penalties is like in the top 10 in all of Europe.
Better than Lewandowski, better than Haaland, better than like most strikers.
Because those guys just also happen to take a lot of like the majority of their team's penalties, right?
Yeah.
So,
and
yeah. What's he at for goal? I'm looking it up now. I'm wondering what he's at for goals now this season. I know he 15, passed
15, 13
more than that because he had that last season. I'm just googling right now, Paulinho player.
I think he beat his league record. But remember that Tasa de Liga game last year? We scored like four.
He scored like four goals, which was a bit, which was an outlier. Stats. Here we go. All seasons. I'll pull this up. What's he at right now? Last year he had. I want just his total season. Yeah, he's got 27 games, 12 goals in the league this season. Which is pretty good. He had five last season. What does that tell you? Five in the league last season.
And he started like every game. So.
He was our sole striker. We had no other strikers.
I mean, we had Chimiti, but you know.
That barely counts. Let's be real here. That was not the striker to end all times. How we got the money we did for him baffles me to this day.
Thank you, Everton. No wonder you're in such financial debt.
No wonder you're fighting a relegation battle again.
Yeah, in terms of the game, again, there's not much else for me to say. I thought Victoria never really scared me. There was that one shot, I think it was the Nuno Santos for their team had, where he got past Jenny, and it was a really good skill. But even still, Jota Silva was through on goal, and for some reason, he's absolutely skied it. I hope I don't see him for Portugal. I think he's a good player, but maybe with Trincao, with Pedro Gonzalez,
yeah,
I would put them over Jota.
I think he was just in the last call-up as kind of like an experimental like pick. Like, I sort of a fringe guy. Let's just see how he does and go from there.
And did they play at the Guimarães Stadium as well? I'm pretty sure, right?
One of their games was in Guimarães, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Yeah, well, that would explain it then. But yeah, man of the match for me, I'm going to give to Pedro Gonzalez. I thought he was great. I don't think 7.2 is a fair number. I think it should be higher and closer to Jokre, but I understand how goal point ratings work. But yeah, Pedro Gonzalez, since coming back, fantastic. Goal and assist, can't ask for more. Coming off as well, I still don't think he's back to full fitness, but because he's been sort of load managed the last few games. So hopefully when he gets there, we'll be good. But yeah, Rich, who was your man of the match for this game?
I'll give it to Joe Karras. Two goals. He was fantastic. He was getting into space. Pot would have been my other choice. So I'll give it to Thick Vic. It's been a little bit of minutes since we gave him one. So I'll give him one today. We do it fantasy enough. Or do you want to do predictions next? We got predictions up. So nothing to me and you had big weeks. We both put up 3 points. We were so close to the exact scoreline. It was, I put 2-0, I think. What did I put? I put 2-0. And then up getting 3, and you put 4-0, and I was like, "Oh God, just stop now, stop now." So, as you can see, Danny really not too smart. Didn't put a prediction, so 0 points for him. Chris gets a goal score and the correct winner. He had Joe Karras. I had Joe Karras and Pot as goal scorers, but I only had the 2-0. I did not have Joe Karras times 2 like a certain someone did. You had him times 2, and you had the win, but you did not get the scoreline. So we were both really close to being exact on this. Like, really close, godly close. And as you see, I've already put my Porto prediction in. I think we're going to tie that game, but I might change that to a win as the week.
Genuinely, I was going to put that exact same scoreline.
That's fine. I wouldn't be mad.
No, I'm going to put the exact same scoreline, and I'm going to copy one of your goal scorers. New keyboard.
Yeah, I know. It wants to do that automatically anyways. Jokeras and
own goal.
Own goal. A bold strategy. Let's see if it pays off. One of these days, one of us is going to predict own goal, and it's going to happen. It's going to be glorious. Yeah. We're going to be late. It's going to be limbs.
I wonder if all four of us will go for 2-2. Who knows?
It wouldn't shock me. I think it's going to. I still think we're going to tie that game.
Tough environment. Yeah, I'd love to.
It's the day after an election. They're going to be pissed off to begin with. Like, you know, they're going to be like just wanting to, especially if we can't actually clinch that game. They're going to be fighting for their lives to make sure we do not win that game. So at the top of the table, I have opened back up an 11-point lead on Chris. He did get it down to 9, if I'm not mistaken. So he sits at 72. Sam sits at 67. You made a little bit of ground up on him. Danny, not making the prediction, falls behind you 4 points. We have 4 league games and the Final de Tassa to predict left. So 5 games overall for us in the season to predict. I just have to not screw up in typical Sporting fashion. And I think within the next game or two, I can probably run away with it officially, mathematically.
Definitely. We shall see. Next one is going to be...
unless fantasy. One of you predicts like 11-0 and like all 11 scorers win. Like score. Amazing comeback, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Hopefully that happens at the Dragao.
that happens on Sunday.
Yeah, let's take a look at fantasy. I have been keeping an eye on mine now. It's probably a bit too late, but...
You need another couple points on me, but... Chris, though, is the real story. We'll get to him in a minute.
I've just seen one point behind.
We've got a title race, ladies and gents.
I made a bad mistake of swapping Jacques for Banzo as captain because I just thought it was going to be a tough game against Gimarães, like it was earlier in the season. Unfortunately,
that would have got you huge points as well.
It would have done. Carlinhos from Potiguarense as well. We'll take that.
Good show for Carlinhos. Who's Israel? So you already left. Arujo and Jota are the ones who lost points. How's your bench look?
Matheus Fernandes, 5 points. Lelo, 3, but it's maybe so Matheus Fernandes.
You left like you realistically left a total of like 4 or 5 points on your bench that you could have got. So not the worst. It's the not captaining Jokeres that bit you a little bit.
I just tried to be too clever, and I think it just didn't work out because Banza didn't even score.
Sometimes you gotta be clever. Who knows, right? Like,
think outside the box to get more points.
To me, I did captain Jokeres, but Banza did nothing for me. Asenda did okay. Jota let me down. And I forgot to sub out Bruno Varela this week, which was stupid of me. So him and Marcelo, but you know, Diego Costa was out anyway, so I couldn't really do much regardless in goal. Gaio's still hurt on defense, so I could have subbed nobody. I left no points on the bench, so I really couldn't have done anything this week unless I used transfers.
I was 21st in Canada as well. So you've done well.
Oh, not horrible. I've been hovering like in that upper third of Canada for a while. Meanwhile, here,
damn,
1 point difference. Holy smokes, Thick Vic, the Revolutionaries. What I would even call a top 5 anime comeback at this point.
What 24 points to Jokeres, 9 for Mujica.
Mujica, Bonds only gave him 3.
Humans, Israel with 6. We pretty much all had 60 points, 60 to like 67.
Yeah,
points.
Everybody, we were all in around 60. Chris put up 67.
3 points left on the bench. It's fine because
he's got his max points.
He could have subbed him in from midfielder, I suppose.
Yeah, he could have subbed out Jota and got another like 2 points to make it like 69 to 67. So he could have actually, if he had subbed Jota out for Marcelo, he would have actually been ahead by a point.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
11th in the US is Chris as well. So
good on him. Danny, I think,
Danny, in Canada. Yeah.
He's doing a great tribute to our beloved Sporting past.
7th, damn, he's fallen.
He fell still
a good week, to be fair.
7th in Canada, 24. Like 2nd. My bro fell off, plus L, plus ratio.
Diego Costa, I don't know if he changed it. I think he might have just left it the same, because I'm pretty sure.
I think he just left it. But even with, like, he couldn't do anything because he's got a non-existent goalie on his bench, so what does he do? He's stuck with Diego Costa and lost points.
I guess, to be fair, you can get negative points for goalkeepers. So, you know, silver linings, I suppose.
So he broke even on his goalie, but that's crazy. But otherwise, one point with 4 league games to go. This is crazy.
Yeah, I think I might be out, and you might be out as well.
It's Jover for me, dude. It's been Jover. I had like a mid-season push where I was like within 80 or 70 points of Chris, and then every time I gained like 5 or 6 points, the next week he put up like 10 extra points on me. So it did nothing.
You get the monthly rankings. That always been a thing. Oh, let's go.
Yeah, you're doing sick this month. You had a couple monster weeks.
I think we realized this is a thing. That'd be new. Yeah. I don't remember seeing this before. But yeah, Danny, man, slipping down. Chris, me and Danny tied.
Yeah, Chris has been crazy this month. Yeah, four games left and a point to play now. That's absurd. We were honestly thinking like Danny, because Danny had like 100, almost like a 200 point lead or something at some point. He had something crazy as a lead.
To be fair, you think it's crazy, but we just got 60 points in one game week. So all it takes is, you know,
one person to have a bit of a stinker and you to put up some decent points, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And my thing was like I'd put up decent points and I would kind of gain on Chris for a second, and then the next week he would just blow me away, and it's like, well, the 20 points I gained on you in 3 weeks is just gone now. Like that was useless, because you just built that lead right back up. So
we do move on to some, I guess, less positive news. It turned out to be positive, I guess, in the end, because nothing really came of it. But this was the headlines on, I believe, Monday and Tuesday. It's that Ruben Amorim was linked to West Ham by David Ornstein, I believe. Within the hour, he was already on a plane. It was that quick. And it looked like he was going to go. And it was going to be it. I saw a lot of Sporting fans, you know, be upset about this. And I think deservedly so. I also think that, you know, I get both scenarios. But there is Ruben Amorim leaving for it's just Stansted in London. And in a private jet as well. So he did not fly economy, man. He is
he was flying
spending those dollar bills.
Yeah.
But turns out he didn't come to an agreement with West Ham. Rumors have it that he saw
the weather in England, and also the fact that you guys still eat like you're at a war, and was just like, no, not for me.
No, from what has been rumored is that he tried to do this to get Liverpool to come forward and, you know, speed things up, but it's turned out Liverpool have gone for the final manager, I believe. So it's sort of a plan, if it was his plan, it's backfired. But, you know, he became West Ham's number one target. He flew there in the same day he came back, and then in the space of 10 hours, it was announced that he wasn't going to be the new West Ham manager.
Yeah.
But Richard, what were your thoughts? Were you annoyed at Amorim for going? Because, you know, in the game that we have coming up is crucial to our season. To be fair, every single game. But against Porto at the Dragao. And, you know, what were your thoughts and feelings towards this?
A little annoyed. Like, people being upset at this are well within their right to be upset about this. It's just not great timing. If they had already clinched the league title, like, I wouldn't even have cared. If he does this, like, after we clinch the league title at any given point, I probably don't give a shit. Because it's like, well, it's done. But I feel like it's just like, this is just it's a somewhat unnecessary distraction. It felt like, obviously, nothing really came of it. Are we going to get to duck on Pedro Sepulveda, by the way? Because, like, he put up
we'll get there.
Hat trick we'll of community there. Notes. Never before seen. Yeah, it's just an unnecessary distraction at like a crucial time of year. It was just annoying. He's gonna go eventually. Like, we gotta get that through our heads. Like, as much as I would like to keep him forever, it's just not feasible. Coaches move on all the time in the sport. Obviously, nothing's come of it. We find out later that it was allegedly a ploy to kind of just put some pressure on Liverpool to say, like, hey, like, I do have other teams interested, or I could just stay here. What do you want to do? And Liverpool, I guess, was like, we're not going to bite. And he said, okay, fair enough. I'm going back to Lisboa. And that's kind of how this unfolded.
Yeah. I don't think I was annoyed. I understood why he went, but again, just the time of it is just not great.
Yeah, I think that's the gripe I have with it. Is just, it's not fun timing. I would have preferred this in like a couple weeks, if and when everything's wrapped up. Then I would be like, okay, cool, I get it, makes sense.
And also, like, not to be that guy, but you know, he was only in London for like 2 hours. That could have been a Zoom meeting. Look at all the
that could have, like,
damage to the environment. You just
we could have easily done this like over Zoom. Like, this meeting was the definition of this could have been an email.
And also,
like, who do you think you are, Taylor Swift? Like, I gotta suck back because Taylor's got to fly back to go see Travis or whatever the hell. Ruben, what the hell are you doing? Smarten up.
That's the reference.
We got climate change going on. We got
that's gone straight. Environmental issues.
We got environmental issues going on. You're running out of here in a private jet. Smarten up. Do better.
But yeah, where was I going with that? I just think that, again, timing could be better. But also for West Ham, they're not going to sack their manager. They've got four games left. They're in the European race,
but
they're not going to sack their manager four games before the end of the season because that would be dumb, and then leaving it to someone else to come in. So West Ham weren't urgently searching for a coach. Ruben Amorim shouldn't be urgently searching to leave, especially right now. Mm. It's poor timing from Ruben Amorim because apparently the players didn't know either that he was going. So they read about it in the newspaper as well. You feel like they should have that connection with the manager.
You're finding out about it on Twitter or like on social media, right?
Yeah. Not saying that any of them have like said no to leaving, but if there was someone who didn't want to leave because of the project that Ruben Amorim has, you'd be like, okay, so I'm not allowed to leave and I stay for you, but you just went and took a meeting. Yeah. And I guess that is football at the end of the day. Managers lie, players lie. We've heard foot managers and the players lie about staying at clubs or, you know, not staying at clubs. It is what it is. But I guess the thing is with me, I'm not as annoyed as people were because I guess I'm used to it with football and just, you know, not to get too deep in a conversation.
You're like me. You're more cynical. So you're just like, I get it.
Well, yeah, not to get too deep as well, but just in life in general, people lie for their own interest. It's just the way of the world.
People don't tell the truth sometimes.
Yeah, but I understand why people were upset because you expect it to be different and you expect the project he's built. But yeah, I was just going to lean on to that. I was going to say, when we spoke about, I think a month ago, when he was first being linked to Liverpool, I think we all said, like, this is his last year as a coach, for Sporting at least, and then he's going to go. But now, Liverpool job is going to be filled by a slot from Feyenoord. Xavi is now staying at Barcelona. Bayern Munich are going to go for Ranić and West Ham. I don't know. But that leaves no jobs open at the moment.
West Ham's an interesting one because David Moyes is out of contract. Like, he is done with his contract at the end of the season. It is an interesting one because it is like more of a project. Like it's not like you're going to a super club. It is more of a, I see this being like 5, 6, 7 years, like as a long-term thing to be competitive and whatnot. It would have been interesting. I'm also saying Ruben, the Canadian national team job is open, and I'm just saying Mourinho already turned us down. So you can, you know, turn us down too if you want. We're looking though. Just want to put that out in the open in the universe.
Yeah, it was a strange number of hours from end start to finish of this story. I guess it's still not finished because, you know, from what I can see in the football landscape, Erik ten Hag is probably going to be sacked. And I assume Ruben Amorim will be linked heavily with that one as well. I'm sure Chelsea will probably look at replacing Pochettino as well. Could be another one. But I just don't know what other clubs there are for him at the moment, but I guess I don't know as well because of usually when there's a big European competition like there's the Euros this year, we see a lot of managers leave their national teams and then go find jobs. So the pool's going to even be greater than that. So I don't know. I was like 90% sure he was going. I'm now 50-50.
I can't see what teams
taking the risk at the moment. You're leaving. Yeah, Brighton, if De Zerbi leaves. Potentially, I could see.
Is that really a step up? I know the league itself is a step up, but like, is the team itself a step up? Like, it's Brighton.
I guess I don't. Then in European competition this season, they're not going to be in next season. But
yeah, like,
I guess any club from from Portuguese big three going to the Premier League is a step up for any job, unless it's like relegation fight, I suppose. But you know,
do you really want to go to a team that's solidly like mid table and like really will not aspire to be much more?
Well, I guess Brighton do have a project on at the moment as well.
I guess
they do the sort of same as us, buy low, sell high. They don't with like McAllister.
I could see West Ham because they have a European trophy in recent times. They've had some deep cup runs, and they've also challenged for those upper, like mid upper table spots in like the top seven, top eight kind of thing for Europa League, almost made Champions League a year or two ago. Like, I could see something like that, but Brighton just doesn't seem like that sexy of a pick. But maybe that's just me, my puny brain.
Yeah. Well, speaking of puny brains, let's go on
That's a hell of a segue. Good for you. I'm proud of you.
Pedro Soldúva. He has been talking a lot.
Out of his ass.
Even as they're giving us the option to write a hoodie note here. Let's have a look and see what the note is. It's based on pure speculation. He's posted several similar tweets.
He got community noted three times in a day.
Would you say this note is helpful, Richard? I think I would say yes.
I think it's very helpful, yes. I think this is extremely helpful community note. He got community noted three times in the same day, and every tweet was Ruben Amorim related. That is...
Well, let's just go for his timeline, I suppose. So there's one numbers. Coming on that one. there's apparently another one. April 23rd. Let's rate another one.
Let's rate this one too. Fuck it. We got time. Live.
Speculative and trying to set an agenda. His account is farming the subject for engagement for his own benefit. Yes.
Yeah, crazy. He also just ripped off like Fabrizio Romano's tweets like this week too. And I was like, you weren't the first to report this, so shut up.
That one doesn't have
a community note.
Because that one was true.
The only one that's true.
He did say that he was gonna speak on Saturday.
Oh, is we got another one. We got another one. We got two back to back. No, this dude's timeline is a mess.
Let me do it on mine, and we'll see if they're actually community notes. Because I don't know if it's different because we're on our one. Let's have a look. So that one doesn't at the moment. That one doesn't at the moment.
That one doesn't.
Have they gotten rid of them all?
Have they gotten rid of all his community notes? Surely not, because he put up like three. I watched him get like three community notes. There we go. That's one.
Well, no shit. Why would Ferran's not want to keep?
Want to keep his coach? Crazy. What a bold strategy from man. Put this in the headline: man who runs football operation wants to keep successful head coach. Bold strategy. Yeah. Let's see if that pays off. Here's the second one.
I just love that it's not anything to do with the article. It's just that he just interactions.
And I think if you go down, you might find one or two more. No, that one doesn't matter. Oh, I'm surprised. Maybe they took the other one down. He put up a hat trick though, and it was crazy. It was unbelievable. He was getting dunked on all over the place on Twitter, on Reddit, everywhere. He was getting dunked on for being so raw. He put out tweets saying it was done deal to Liverpool like a month ago. It was guaranteed going to happen. Then what's he do? He puts out never even in talks. They never met.
Yeah, he was like, they've agreed.
They never met.
They're agreeing personal terms, but at the same time, they've never even spoke to each other. Never like, at all. And someone tried to argue with me. He's like, yeah, it's his agent. I'm like, no, just stop believing this, please.
State of journalism, especially Portuguese media, is so bad. I understand wanting to be the first, like especially on a big story like that, like wanting to be first. I'd rather be right than be first, because most of the time the people that are first are 8 or 9 out of 10 times usually wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Pedro Soldúva's tweet. We'd just be like, oh, he has a cousin here. He has a relation. But someone, I think it was the guy who's actually in the comments right now, who said that Fabrizio Romano has not quoted Pedro Soldúva in like 2 years.
No.
So if you have a look and find out why, I'm sure
you'll see why. Sepulveda has been full of crap for the last year and a half on all of his reporting.
Brutal. Also, as well, just to point this out, and you know, I tweeted it out maybe 2 days ago, 3 days ago. I will find it.
Please try.
There we go. So I don't doubt this spell. Well, I'm not saying I doubt that he has knowledge, but this tweet here to me is only there for, encouragement of sporting fans to turn on their coach.
That's him trying to stir shit up. That's him stirring the pot.
Yeah. So as you're saying, there'll be no interviews with any club. And then Ruben Amorim took a private jet to London. And from what I hear, people are just taking the piss out of him. Because, like, yeah. But there was also another one that was donked on. It was Community United.
Also, people acting like Ruben Amorim isn't the first guy to go back on his word, like, in life. Not just in sports or soccer, in life. Like, how dare he change his mind? How dare he lie to us? Like, people haven't been lying since the dawn of time.
Yeah, but there was, I think it was Community Note or someone said, but yeah, Ruben Amorim said something similar, but it was never like there were no interviews. He was like, I haven't had any interviews yet or something. I can't remember exactly what the quote was, but that wasn't it. But
he took like part of a quote and it was out of context, so it was just like, bro.
So yeah, unbiased journalist, just happens to be at a female volleyball game, sat near Pino da Costa.
Sat near the your boy.
I'm just saying, you know, if you want to make your own conclusions from that, you can.
But I found out yesterday, by the way, because my dad has Corinna de Mignia, the Canadian channel. They just had a Pino da Costa thing running. I'm like, how old is Pete the costume? It's like, he's got to be like 86. I'm like, bro looks 186. He looks so old.
He can't walk properly. He can't talk properly. Like,
no, his age has really started to show recently.
Yeah. But yeah, whenever you hear something about Pedro Spelduva, it's not like Amorim related and he's trying to cause trouble. Just remember this photo.
So stay tuned next week for special guest on the podcast, Pedro Spelduva. He's never coming on our show again. If his CBC is our shit, he's like, I'm never coming to see these clowns. Dunked on him so much in the last little bit. Yeah,
but yeah, I guess really in terms of the week, there's been no other sort of big. Oh, there has.
How's it?
There has.
What am I forgetting?
What are you forgetting? Kids? That is.
Is it the new kids?
Yes,
because they're kind of fire. They love to slap.
New kits and also a new agreement with
allegedly we were finding this is interesting.
There we go. Yes, so new kit, which to be fair, I think it's for me the nicest kit we've released.
It broke the CR7 record, by the way, for like first day sales.
If you slap that vintage badge on anything, it's
I love that badge. Give me that badge with the new lion, like just update the lion in the badge.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do. It's so nice. It's literally what I have on my phone case right now is like an updated version of that badge that I did custom. And it's such a nice badge. Like just go back to that one.
For me, my one regret, I've bought a lot of sporting kits, but the one I didn't buy for whatever reason was the one 2018-2019 where I had the old school home jersey with the retro badge. But, you know, I can't find it anywhere in my size on my eBay or Vinted or anything, which really breaks my heart.
I'm so lucky. I was the same as you. I'm like, oh, I'm never going to find that shirt again. I wish I'd bought that when it was available. And I just happened to see it on sale. Like, Classic Shirts had it, and it was on sale as well. They had a 20% off. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to grab that. That being all said, this is a pretty nice kit, actually. I like this kit. I messed with it hard.
Yeah, and apparently Sport and Nike have an agreement to extend the contract, which actually ends in July, which was sort of a given considering they released a new shirts. And if you see outside the stadium, they've got the two shirts that have been covered again with the coming soon, .. But to me, I think those shirts are just the home and the away with the Champions Crest on it.
That's what I'm assuming is it might just be like a special like end of season thing. Thoughts on extending with Nike? I want to go to you first. I have opinions.
Well, I'm just going to say what everyone else is saying. And I think, you know, we've hit record sales, but there's no creativity. And it's what do you prefer? Do you prefer making money or do you prefer creativity? As fans, I would say creativity. But if we're still making so much money and with stuff like the CR7 kit as well, I think Nike will probably push us to do more CR7 stuff because that was such a good seller. But at the same time, I wish if we do get a new agreement, I want to be on a new tier that isn't templates and also that is just available on the Nike store. I know Nike, Lojavada make their money through that, like through the official store, But for someone who lives in the UK, someone lives in Canada, someone lives in the US.
For people that don't live in Portugal, like, it would be nice to be able to have that option. Just saying.
Yeah, because we, I get they probably make a lot of money from shipping, but at the same time.
I just got stuff in the mail like last week or the week before from Lojavir, and like my shipping was still $30. It was still ridiculous. Yeah. It was still crazy expensive. Like the shipping was crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm of the same camp. I'm fine because financially, like, it's helping the it's done a lot of wonders for the club. I'm with you. I just want to see just a little bit more creativity. Like, I don't need my, like, I'm pretty easy to please when it comes to kits. I'm not super fussy. Just be a little more creative with your patterns, or be a little more creative. Like, don't mess up the collar. Like, you don't need to do much to please me. I'm pretty easy. You just need to do it right. But yeah, a little bit more outside the box would be nice.
And that's the consensus with everyone saying as well.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable, because especially when you look at a lot of our kits with Macron, who I still consider probably our best ever shirt supplier in terms of outside the box things, in terms of just nice shirts, in terms of shirts where they didn't mess with things too much. Like, they did a good job of keeping, like, the home shirt looked like the home shirt. It didn't look bad. It never looked awful. The away shirts and, like, the alternate shirts all had a little bit of something different where it's like, oh, like, that's kind of cool. Like, we've not ever had a kit like that. I'd like to see just a little bit more of that from Nike, if that's the case.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm just taking a look on, excuse me, the Nike store, just to, you know, see what type of shirts they have, because maybe it's such like a, maybe like a big tier.
Yeah, and maybe we take the Galatasaray place, because they're done with Nike and they're kind of one of the Nike preferred clubs. So maybe we slot into that spot.
I know I'm biased, right? They've had some cool, I would say we're on the same level as Leipzig, as Galatasaray, as Frankfurt, as Puma, as Club America. To be fair, I think those ones are only there for their design, not for the actual.
Yeah.
But I would say we
have better slot, to be fair.
Yes,
I think nice, Galatasaray, I know their contract is done with Nike. Maybe we slot in and become one of those sort of like preferred, like middle to second tier partners where we kind of get some cool stuff here and there.
Yeah. They stocked, Nike stocked the Ronaldo away shirt once. Mm-hmm. And once they sold out, they never restocked it.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that one was so. I know why that one was so.
Well, and especially because it's popular. Well, I'm like, you would think if it's sold that quickly, you'd say, oh shit, this is obviously popular and this is a hot, this is obviously very like in demand. Let's make more.
Yeah.
So that's my only, I guess, great. Like, I have one. I bought one. And it's sick. It's a cool looking shirt. I just wish we had done, I feel like we did a good job capitalizing it, but it's also like us and Nike could have done so much more with that kit launch.
Yeah, I guess, to be fair, I don't think there's much. I said this last time, but then I remember something. I don't think there's much else.
Justin Modeli Dodge that I know of. I know the ladies are out of the TASA. They lost, or they tied Benfica 1-1, but they had lost the first leg 1-0. We thought they had actually tied at one point. They had a goal called back. Really hard-fought game. Sucks to see them go out of the TASA. They're still only like 2 or 3 points back in the league with a couple games to go, so there's still a chance. You know, they're still fighting. It's not over till it's over. I guess we can get into the title math actually soon if we want to pull up the standings before we go, because we can start talking about clinching scenarios officially. Things that we need to go right and things that we would also need to go drastically wrong. Cover all of these, because this is
Sporting. I was gonna say, we just talk about the right for now?
Well, this is Sporting, we gotta cover everything. So right now we are 7 points ahead with 4 games left. We need 6 points from the final 4 games to clinch. That number will change, obviously, should Benfica lose or draw to Braga. If Benfica does lose to Braga this week, we can be champions at the Dragão, but only with a win. A draw would mean we would still need to win this week and next week at Portimonense. So the soonest we could clinch is this weekend. I'm guessing it will probably be the next game either at home with the Portimonense or Who's our second line? I know our last game is Shavs.
Shavs? Yeah.
No, Shavs is our last game. I'm trying to think who's the in-between game.
Arouca? I don't know. No, we've played them already. We played them already twice.
Estrela, maybe?
Moriets?
No, I think it might be Estrela.
I think you're right.
Go to matches, yes. And we can just see this real quick. It'll show us. So, I know we have Portimonense next, and then...
Yeah, Estoril, you're right. Estoril away.
Is Estoril. So it'll probably be more likely if we clinch. I'm assuming it will be one of the Portimonense Estoril games, depending on results. Six points from four games. I mean, if you can get out of the Dragão game even with a draw, I think you're probably well on your way. Even if they beat Braga, it would still be 5 points with three games left that they would need to make up. Not impossible, and they could absolutely do it. But I'm guessing we haven't lost a game at home in the league. We've been undefeated, so I could very easily see it be probably not this week. I'm hoping that if we beat Porto this week, then I will guarantee, knock on wood, that we will clinch next week if we win this week.
So here are the factors that we have as well. Benfica play Braga before we play.
That's why we know we could clinch after the Dragão. That's how we know that.
Yeah, and that will make that game a lot more interesting for both parties. But as you mentioned before, Porto elections. Reason why this is majorly interesting, if Vias Boas wins, Sergio Conceição is gone, as confirmed by Pedro Costa, who's only got a break in his clause, his contract, if he does say, and the same with Pepe. So...
Oh, I didn't realize with Pep. I know Conceição was a renewal unless they lost, and in which case his contract would be up to Vias Boas, which he'd probably just let him run out the season and then go from there. You're not going to sack the coach with like three games left at that point. Like, unless you just want to make a point.
And I don't know who's going to win. I would assume Pinto da Costa will win again, but...
I assume Pinto da Costa, but I think it's going to be pretty close. I think it's going to be within like 5-10%. It's going to be closer than people want to give them credit for.
No matter who wins, I think there's going to be chaos for Porto because there's a lot of people who don't want Pinto da Costa still there. There's a lot of people who don't want to... I'm losing my voice for some reason. And Vias Boas there either.
From what I gather, like the actual socios and like ultras and stuff, and a lot of the match going crowd are pro Pinto Costa. A lot of the sentiment online is more anti Pinto Costa, pro Vias Boas. So it's gonna be a split. I think it's gonna be close. I think Pinto Costa will win out, but I think it's gonna be pretty tight. I think it's gonna be like within 5-10% of the vote. Is how they're going to split it. That's my prediction. That could be way off, but do we have a dog? Do we have a dog in the fight? Like, do you have a dog in the fight? Do you care who wins? Like,
because
Pinto Costa lose, it is like literally the end of an era in Portuguese football where it's been all those old guys who love starting shit in the media, like. You have Varandas and Rui Costa now who don't really – they speak when they kind of need to speak, but they don't really start wars in the media anymore, which is kind of pleasant. I feel like Vias Boas would be of the same temperament, so maybe it's like a new, less chaotic, less toxic era of Portuguese football, which I would gladly welcome.
For me, I think the way Pinto da Costa has ran Porto for the last, let's say, five years. For the last five has been downward spiral. And it's in that time, to be fair, they still won a league title, but they have lost so much money. Their best players go for free, and Bemba went for free. Corona, I think, went for like $2-3 million. Just recently, they rebought Francisco Conceição after selling Francisco Conceição, and they paid and double for what they sold him.
And then they all
20% goes to him.
Yeah, if they sell Francisco Conceição at any point, Francisco Conceição automatically himself gets 20% of his own transfer, which is, I don't think I've ever seen that.
And if it's not 60 Portugal, million, anyways. 60 million release clause, that is, he's going to be, he could retire right then.
He's going to flash. He's set for life off of one crazy transfer.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, that's nuts.
Yeah, and Bemba, they did the same with Marcano, the same with Chico Gerard.
A lot of players the last like 5 to 8 years have left on freeze, and it's been baffling. Like, I was on the SC Porto podcast a couple months ago previewing the previous Clásico, and that was the one thing they said it baffles them how they've let so many like good to great players leave for nothing or next to nothing. I'm like, you guys have missed out on like at least like 60 to 80 million in like transfer revenue over that time, which for a Portuguese team right now is like life-changing money. Like, yeah, it's crazy what they've left on the table.
And they've been close to hitting FFP a few times. I know they've been some threats of them not being in the next European competition. I don't know if that's just journalism, like newspaper talk, or it's actually legit.
It's come up enough times in the last like 5-10 years where it wouldn't shock me if there is like a lick of truth in it. Like, it's come up enough times where it wouldn't shock me if they do get sanctioned or like banned or like some sort of transfer ban, embargo, whatever have you.
But with also no disrespect intended, we mentioned Pinto Costa's 86. Is he going to really live another term, which is what, 5 years?
He's going to go to like 90 years old. Like, really? Like, if that was my president, I would just be like, no, like, enough's enough. Like, it's time to go. Like, after that, like, if we're here in 30 years and Varandas is still president, I'm going to be like, bro, like, packing it.
I think he's got to be like 40s for
he's in his 40s, yeah. So it put him around Pete Lacoste, which is like in his 70s or 80s now. Like,
I think he's closer to 90, isn't he?
If Varandas is still doing this in 25, 30 years, I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna send a personal letter and be like, dude, enough's enough.
Oh, he's actually 86 years of age.
He is 80, so my dad was right. Yeah, like, just pack it in. Like, what else do you have?
Villas Boas is 40 years younger than him. That is crazy.
He is old enough to be Villas Boas' dad. That's crazy, man. Old enough to be his grandpa, realistically, actually, even if you start doing math. That's crazy. Yeah. Like, man, what else do you have to prove? Like, what else do you have to prove at this point? You've been in charge for 40 years. You've won literally every trophy you could possibly win with this club, both domestically and internationally at this point. Like, what else could you possibly do? Multiple Champions Leagues, multiple Europa Leagues, like countless league titles. Like, there's a reason, like, they leapfrog Sporting and league titles and everything because of that. Like, it's crazy.
And a few other things.
And some other stuff that we don't, you know, some people don't like to talk about.
Yeah. I agree. But I think from most of the Porto fans that I'm friends with, they also want Pinto da Costa. I think it's a thing that it's like, it's not ill will. It's like, we're grateful.
It's just for time for done. Change.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just time. It's time to move on and just do and get new ideas at the end of the day.
But yeah, I just wonder if will there be a max Estes supporter, not just Costa Sal, but the backroom staff, the scouts, the, you know, everyone from like the admin. What happens? Does some players
it'll
leave?
If Sergio Conceição leaves,
if Conceição leaves, does his son follow or does his son stay?
Does he stay? Like, who knows, right? That's the thing. Like, especially new president, like, wants to put his mark on things one way or another. So, like, what do they do? And the thing is, he's gonna have to look at the finance and who knows what, like, where it's going off what's actually being reported right now, like those figures. Who knows what their finances and like all the backroom dealings actually are, like how much craziness he's going to have to deal with. Yeah. Like it is sort of like, it's funny. The last two presidents, like Bruno de Carvalho was kind of baptism by fire because the club was like almost in administration. And then Varandas comes in and it's the club's on the heels of just massive like debts and
probably on the verge of administration again.
Almost on the verge of bankruptcy. Rui Costa, when he goes and takes over Benfica, was in the midst of unbelievable corruption and scandal and financial
that he was probably there for.
But it's like now it's gonna fall on you instead of the guys above you. So you
and now Benfica fans want him to go now. So.
And now Benfica fans are like, you need to leave now. Like this time last year, he was the savior. It's crazy, you know. Like, no one can just come in like peacefully in this country. They all gotta go like crazy.
Yeah.
They can't all be they can't all be as peaceful as the Vincent Gabriel, can they, Sam?
I guess not, no.
I guess not.
No. So. But yeah, I guess that's really it. I don't think there's anything else, unless you can think of anything else.
No. I know I saw the comments, Futsal Champions League is coming up, the Final Four. And they will play the winner of Benfica and I forget who else. But yeah, another Final Four Champions League appearance. Let's hope that they can avenge last year. They lost last year in extra time or penalties in the futsal finals. So be nice to win what would be our third futsal Champions League, futsal Euro title. Be nice. So we'll keep an eye on that. And you'll definitely be able to follow us for some updates on that for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And maybe next week we'll be back as champions. Our first podcast as champions in three years.
2021. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So fingers crossed. But then again, also maybe not fingers crossed, because you know, I would like people to be able to celebrate it at a stadium that they can go watch and the Porto fans not the sanest people to be around. So
also like imagine like if they were champions like Leicester, like they're just fat like Leicester, they found out at Jamie Vardy's house they were champions. Yeah. That was such a cool story, and it was the most anticlimactic thing possible. It's like we're champions, and they were just all having pizza and wine at Jamie Vardy's place.
Well, that would have happened if Benfica had lost to Ferenc. But
if Benfica had lost to Ferenc, and then they also lost to Braga, that would have basically been the case. We would have already walked in the Dragão as champions. But they beat Ferenc. They did the first half of their job.
Yeah. Yeah, that is it. We'll see you hopefully next time. Make sure you go to follow Richard there. Make sure you follow Danny and Chris, who couldn't make it today as well. Make sure to follow myself. But of course, most importantly, make sure you follow all things Alvlaz on all social media platforms and podcast platforms. We shall see you next week, where hopefully we'll be champions. But if not, you know, I guess the next week after we'll have to be. We can wait another week. Some of us have waited like 20 years.
We're used to long waits if you support this club. So we'll get it eventually. Who knows? Maybe.
Yeah, it's definitely. But we shall definitely see you next week regardless. So see you then. Peace.